You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring attorney, guest, and former felony prosecutor Eric Fardis.
Trial of Chad Daybell continuing on, and more magical thinking, magical beliefs, or you can just call him crazy. I think it's kind of interchangeable in some of this, with witnesses taking the stand and not painting the brightest picture of Chad Daybell. I think initially a lot of folks thought, and it was kind of portrayed, that Lori Vallow was the mastermind behind a lot of this. What we're hearing now doesn't necessarily paint that picture. Attorney Eric Fattis joining us. Eric, again, another week into this. What's been some of your takeaways of what we've seen since we last talked?
Yeah, Tony, like you mentioned, it's appearing more and more clear, at least from the government's evidence, that, you know, Chad Daybell was at the helm of this, you know, the SS crazy here. And it wasn't just Lori pushing these far-fetched beliefs on him. It appears that he may have been the source of many of them, and may have been engaging in them even before he had significant exposure with Lori. So it's a problem for their defense, because they're trying to say, hey, Lori's the ringleader, but that's not really how the evidence is shaken out so far.
It's not shaking out that way at all. More and more people testifying. This is Lori's niece, Melanie Pawlowski, taking the stand, talking about castings and the interesting relationship and what Chad wanted her to call him. Let's take a look.
Would you say at some point you developed a close relationship with Chad?
Yes.
At some point, did you eventually begin referring to him as Dad?
Yes.
At some point, did Lori and Chad begin sharing teachings with you or their purported beliefs?
Yes.
Do you recall them sharing some teachings regarding light and dark?
Yes.
Do you know where those ideas were originating from?
I believe they came from Chad.
Do you recall what they taught you or told you in relation to light and dark?
From what I remember, Chad was said to have a gift to spiritually discern, and he could see light and dark, or if a person had good intentions, but that he could see through and had that gift.
What a lovely gift to have, to see light and dark. And I think the last time we heard a case where someone said, call me daddy, was R. Kelly. But I think this is in a very different context. What's your takeaway from the direction that Melanie Pawlowski is kind of painting Chad Daybell in here?
You know, I think Melanie really has some damning testimony against Chad here, because that's one of the alleged bases as to why Chad and Lori allegedly killed their children, is because they thought that they were essentially dark, demonic beings. And here we have this witness saying, hey, Chad talks like that, you know, regularly. This is something that he does. And so for Chad's defense to get up and say, oh, you know, the killing of the kid, that was all Lori. Well, we kind of have the precursors to that came through in this testimony.
And they slowly kind of groom people into believing those sort of things of light and dark. That seems to be kind of where it starts, this overall concept. And then, oh, look, there's more people that are dark. Here's more of her testimony.
There was some type of darkness that you couldn't cast out. And so if this, that the Lord in his due time would have to take, that person would pass away because this darkness was too much or something like that.
So if someone were to be possessed and with a strong enough entity, essentially the body would have to die.
Judge, that's leading. Calls for speculation.
That's a sustained on leading.
If someone became too dark, would the body have to die?
Judge, leading.
Overruled.
I believe so. That I think that was their idea, that they would pass away because they couldn't have this darkness inside them.
We go from just being light and dark, and now you're dark, you're going to die. It's a little bit taking another step up. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's sort of an ominous, it's the beginnings of an ominous spiritual justification. Yes. For killing people, at least according to the government's evidence. And that's the horse they're going to ride here, and they're going to buttress it with those quotes that you just played.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it really shows, what's interesting about these people is they don't seem to show a lot of like remorse or regret for having these sort of beliefs. It almost is like, do you still believe some of these things? It's just Chad's not the end all be all. That's kind of the weird part about some of these testimonies. It's just kind of like, yeah, this is you know what we heard, and find that
totally odd. And you know, a part of it strikes me as in those sort of extreme spiritual communities, there can be like a lot of brainwashing that goes on, and that could stick with people for years down the road. And I'm just wondering if any of that happened here that is resulting in this sort of like flattened affect from some of these people on the stand who don't really see how absurd and dangerous some of these ideologies could be.
100%. Here's one more from Lori's niece, Melanie Pulowski. Of course, who else has to be dark in this equation? Well, when the authorities start looking at you, well, of course, those officers gotta be dark.
At some point, did you have conversations with Chad and Lori about law enforcement?
Yes.
What did they tell you in relation to law enforcement?
They told me that law enforcement was corrupt and that they were after them and that they couldn't be trusted.
At some point, do you recall if specific law enforcement officers were identified as dark by Chad and Lori?
Yes.
Who were those officers?
Detective Aramisio and I want to say Detective Hope. Is that? I'm not sure if that's right. There was somebody who was related to Tammy's family, I think.
Really makes you wonder what sort of plots were brewing behind the scenes for those officers' lives that, thank God, they never, you know, got their hands on.
Yeah, it's scary to think about. And you know, so to have this sort of undercomplicated binary system that you convince people of, where, you know, as soon as you don't like somebody, you just call them dark and they're immediately demonic and deserving of death and everything else. It's a pretty easy way to deal with your enemies and people you don't like until it all catches up with you.
If you're an enemy, you're dark. And if you have an insurance policy, you're dark. It seems to be kind of how things, yeah, you're very, you got, ooh, it's a $1 million. You're like, whoa, dark.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.